And we are live. Alrighty, well, this is the first ever Voice of the House podcast. Coming straight from Frederick Wine House, located off 30 Monocacy Boulevard. I am the general manager and your host, Mr. Cal. And before I get into who we currently have on today, I could not think of anyone better to bring on first and foremost. And honestly, for me, it's a little sentimental. I do get a little, I do have a taste for the theatrical at times. It's probably the comic book nerd in me. But I remember my days working at Ye Olde Spirit Shop for Paul Throne, naturally before he sold. And the year was 2015, 2016, when you guys first got off the ground. And that was the first time we met of just, oh, hey, we're the new local distillery. We're just trying to get our product out there, you know, very, well, guerrilla sales, if you will. But a man that truly needs no introduction, the great Braden Bumpers, the head distiller, as well as one half of the beautiful brains behind McClintock Distilling. Braden, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be your first guest.
I wouldn't have it any other way. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, obviously, let's get right into it. You're a local guy. You grew up in this neck of the woods, yeah?
Yep. Beautiful. Yep. Me and Tyler are both from Maryland, and happy to be here in Frederick.
Yeah. And now your cohort and business partner, Tyler, when did you guys first meet?
So we actually met in college. We went to a really small school down in North Carolina. We were in the middle of nowhere. There's not a lot to do down there. So we met each other because of our combined interest in home brewing. So we were making, like, kind of on the front end of the home brewing movement,
sure,
trying to work through some recipes, doing stuff that we always liked. And that's how we got to know each other. And then, you know, about 7 or 8 years later, we both ended up in the distilling side of things and thought it would be a great time to come back home to Maryland and start our own shop.
So during that time period through mm-hmm. college, both of you, obviously, your undergrad. Now, what was yours in? What was his in?
So he was a business major.
Makes sense.
And I went for environmental science with a focus on biology and chemistry. So
I wouldn't have guessed.
Perfect combination for what we ended up doing.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. So obviously you have, you know, you kick around ideas because and speaking from personal experience, when you're in college, you always have that time of just, and half the time your brain's not even fully developed, but it always turns into this, all right, well, I have to figure out what I want to do for the rest of my life,
yeah,
hopefully. And hopefully I'm right. You know, that's the beauty of college. That's a whole nother argument.
Yeah.
But, I mean, naturally, you guys, and it's a beautiful thing that you were united in this concept and simultaneously went, you know what? Yeah, we can do this. We have the practical application. We have the knowledge. Let's really give this a shot. You know, I love those kind of stories of just, no, this was our dream. This was our passion. We poured everything we had into it. And, I mean, fast forward, look where you are today. But what, if nothing else, when was that kind of definitive moment or around that time period where you guys said, now let's open up a distillery?
This is the time to do it. Yeah. Because, I mean, it was always something like, you would always talk about starting a brewery and doing,
sure,
you know, going down that, well, and that this was, whole road.
And this was, I mean, if you want to go back, this would have been, what, at least 15 years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
And
close to 20 at this point. Make myself feel really old. Yeah.
Well, and you and I have seen this town grow up,
yeah,
slowly but surely as it's becoming MoCo North, despite what everyone that still wants it to be Mayberry says. You look around, you have a boatload of breweries now. I mean, you drop a pin in the middle of downtown and you got, what, 6 walking distance, give or take?
Yeah.
Distilleries are sprouting up more and more. I would argue, and no disrespect to some of the breweries, I'd argue that with the distilleries, it's a little more, the people are going to know if they like your product or not right off the bat.
Yeah.
And the problem is, with a lot of the beer batches, yeah, sure, your margins aren't going to be as big, but with distilling, I mean, it's really make it or bust.
Yeah, and distilling really wasn't even, like, on our radar. We both are people who like drinking spirits more than beer.
Sure.
Back then, it really wasn't even a path to move forward into the distilling industry. And we both naturally gravitated into that circle. And we were doing apprenticeships. We worked for the American Distilling Institute on different ways. And so it was always something that we wanted. And it really was like the perfect timing of the state of Maryland rescinding a lot of the weird laws and legislation that were not, that made it not possible to own a distillery here, along with us learning more about the history and the heritage of what we had here in Maryland, because we were a distilling powerhouse and it was all but forgotten. You know, like Kentucky has really dominated that conversation about the history and the legacy of what American spirits are, but really like Maryland, Pennsylvania kind of defined that, you know, before Kentucky was even a thing.
You and I have always been rye guys.
Yes. Exactly. And so we really wanted to come back home here and really reflect, you know, our passion about what we do, the type of ingredients we're using, and really make something that was really special and like authentically reflected this area.
Beautiful. Yeah. And it just, so this would have been what, between 2010, 2015 range?
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So I think I worked at a lab for a very small amount of time and realized that labs was not where I was meant to be.
You, while you have the brain for it, just from knowing you for as long as I have, you're very much that guy. You like to be in the trenches.
Yeah.
You like to be hands-on. You like being the Dr. Emmett Brown. You like being the mad scientist. Yeah. Just, no. Let me see what I can do.
It's the process. I think why I liked brewing, even though I didn't really like drinking beer that much, is it's the process of like making something, right? Of like, you have a vision, you have an idea, and then going through and like, you have something at the end of the day that you can share with your friends, you can showcase, and like, that's what always drew me to it. And, you know, reading, I won't even go into what I was doing in the lab, but it's boring. And
I probably wouldn't understand it anyway. Yeah.
It's not that complicated, just really tedious.
I don't have the brain for it.
Yeah. But we could, you know, with this, we really had like an idea for, you know, what we wanted to do, our mission, our recipes, like all of that stuff, and really bringing it, you know, to fruition and like building the distillery itself, you know, and going through that process. It's all part of that, you know, hands-on craft process, which we love.
Yeah. And that's, you just developed the passion and then you guys opened 2016 and ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah, 17 months of renovation.
Well, yeah.
That's the building downside when doing it yourself, is it takes a long time.
Understandably. No, and another testament to the fact of we're going to make it or bust.
Yep.
You know, and that's a testament to your passion. It's a testament to we believe in what we're doing. We have a product. We know people will want this product. Yeah, rock or bust. Yep. I love that. I absolutely love that. So when it comes to your portfolio, going to shift gears a little bit here. Mm-hmm. At least getting started to now, because now, again, we'll touch on it, you know, the mad scientist in you, so to speak, because you guys have come out with some crazy cordials, always delicious, but just out of, you know, truly out of nowhere, and just, okay, well, how they think of this one. So from the get, what dictated, all right, well, this is going to be our core portfolio, you know, I mean, obviously you do some market research, you count some numbers. I mean, it goes without saying you had to do a rye.
Yeah.
Because just... Yeah, take that, Whiskey Rebellion. And, I mean, from then to now, because now you just pump out a lot more, like, one-off craft items, which I'll be the first to tell you I get harassed nonstop for, are they going to ever bring that back, like, in the store? And it's just, I'll have to check. I mean, Lord knows, if they don't, I guarantee you'll find something they pump out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what, so to sum it up, what originally dictated your core portfolio, and then how do you guys go about creating new spirits now?
So we wanted to, with our core stuff, we wanted to really hit this this hybrid of something that is really elevated, that really reflected our home here, and was made in a way that is good enough that any person could enjoy it. We're really like not trying to go after only just like bourbon snobs, only just like people who import gins from all over the world. We really wanted to make something that was cool and reflected how awesome Maryland and Frederick is, but is approachable. That we get people all the time that have never been to a distillery, that don't know the difference between rye and bourbon, and we try to make that process really easy for them. Because there's a lot of gatekeeping in the spirits industry, and we wanted
how much time you got?
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, just un poco.
Yeah, so we wanted to make it so that like we can really bring people and we can introduce people to what authentic Maryland rye whiskey is. We can introduce people to what a botanical gin is and what botanicals are special to us out here, you know? So that was really like the core stuff. And then part of our mission is to be, you know, always striving for more, always working on innovation. And so all of these limited releases are ways
complacency that kills.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we're always working on trying new things, experimenting with new ingredients, working with new products. You know, these are a lot of our stuff is specialty products that are a little off the wall. And, you know, now we know some of those were very well received and some of them were maybe a little ahead of their time.
That's the beauty of drinkers. Yeah. They're as opinionated as I am.
Yeah.
And they will let you know right off the bat. You'll hear one or two complaints. You'll see the numbers just, okay, we haven't budged.
Yeah.
I think it's time to get rid of this.
Yep.
But true American market, if they love it, you won't hear a peep unless you bump into them in person and you'll just see the, oh, okay, Mikey likes it. That's great.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a core of like what we pride ourselves in is always like experimenting and trying stuff and not being afraid to, you know, make a product that, you know, might be only for a very specific group of people, but, sure, you know, it makes somebody happy and that's what we're looking for.
No, and I will say this because, actually, ironically enough, the advertisement you guys use on social media, you can see the back of my head in it from when you were like, yeah, dude, just come on through. And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And I remember sitting in on the class when you were talking about barrel aging.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful seminar. And what I'm getting at with you guys is you cast a wide net. I absolutely love that you guys have no issue for those that have the training wheels on. You're very accommodating, very just, there's no such thing as a stupid question.
Yeah.
What I would argue some of the joy in what you do is spreading that knowledge.
Yeah.
And again, because you have such a passion for it and you genuinely enjoy educating people about something you love. It's almost like you get this awesome Lego set for Christmas, you know, when you're a kid and you build it and you just want to show it and be like, dude, look at this. Look how great this set is. You know, like you guys very much have that kind of childlike innocence of just, this is fantastic. We love this. We want everyone to love this as much as we do. Because
mm-hmm.
I've always been of the opinion as a whiskey somm, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Not just, oh, well, let me come in, buy all the bottles and then just never drink them and set them on my mantle for pictures.
Like, yeah.
I think that's everything wrong with the market. Yeah. I love it's just, I buy a product. Oh my gosh. This is earth shattering. I love this. Everyone needs to try this. Like everyone needs to try this. Guys, come here. You got to try this. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, I don't care what the bottle costs. You can't take it with you. And it's just, no, I need to get this out. Like everyone needs to try this. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know? And I love that about you guys. You've always been very just finger on the pulse, men of the people.
Yeah. And our Lego set is filled with booze. So it's even better.
Have you guys ever come out with like a whiskey barrel Lego set?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Maybe a little mini distillery we can build out there. But yeah, I think
a little Boone figure.
Yeah. That's
I know
right.
Your dog. Yeah.
I think like, you know, that was something that always bothered us when we were young and trying to get into the industry. Then it was hard. It was legitimately, there is just like very few ways to.
Well, you guys were kind of the trailblazers in this town.
This was early. Yeah. This was, you know, I think we started working for the American Distilling Institute in 2013 or 12. So this was pretty early on in the craft distilling scene. And there was just very few resources to learn about it, to try to like gain an appreciation and understanding of what's going into these products. At that time, I felt like a lot of the marketing, especially around whiskey, was just using terms to try to confuse people, throwing numbers up there. Like
looking at a certain vodka with handcrafted.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's handcrafted. So, what's that mean? It means we dumped in the mash bill ourselves.
Yeah,
oh, it's
exactly.
Handcrafted.
Yeah,
okay.
It's handcrafted. So. I think we were really trying to provide new people an avenue because it's not just about McClintock. It's about the craft industry and about like supporting your local distillery. And the more we've seen people learn about what we're doing and what our awesome, you know, other distilleries in Maryland are doing, it's good for all of us. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, we our market share for independently owned distilleries is tiny.
Sure.
And so,
but a rising tide raises all
exactly.
ships.
Exactly. And so, like, I, you know, we don't want to take you know, bottle sales from Sagamore. I want to take bottle sales from Maker's Mark, you know, so.
Yeah. They're doing fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think that education is a big key component of it, and that's why it's been such a big focus of everything that we do as well.
Love that. And consistently, you guys are always just pumping out educational content. Mm-hmm. You have tastings nonstop at the tasting room. I mean, I don't know whose plan it was. I'm guessing just another beautiful collaboration of you guys. But that back bar, brilliant.
Super fun. And I was definitely on record as being opposed to opening that. I was very adamant that...
Now, why is that?
So I thought that doing cocktails would take away focus of our process and our story. And that mm-hmm. was really like... what I felt strongly about is like people come in and they learn about the distilling process and they learn about, you know, Maryland rye and they do a tasting and they learn about our spirits. And so I finally caved. It was like, we can do cocktails next door. I don't want to have them inside the main distillery.
And that was probably a good call to split the difference.
After we opened it, I totally admit I was completely in the wrong in that a lot of people like cocktails and it's a good showcase to be like, not only is this gin great on its own, it's great in a gin and tonic. And that's, you know, realistically what people are trying out there.
Sure. No, and correct me if I'm wrong, your Forager is still your flagship.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Still our best-selling product is the Forager gin.
Right, so. Rightfully so. Yeah. My own brother, for years, usually, you know, for being the military man, you know, the man's man that he appears to be, he's always just some sugary, fruity stuff and gin straight up. And frankly, he loves his Hendrix, but I remember the first time he tried McClintock and he goes, okay, I like that better than Hendrix. You know, yeah. And I'm not just saying that to blow smoke, but because when I turned him on the gunpowder, the Drew Chambeau, he was big on that, but he thoroughly enjoys McClintock.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because you guys, do you distribute in Pittsburgh?
We don't. We're just Maryland, D.C., and Delaware. So
yeah, well,
We're hoping to do more soon and add some new markets, but we're pretty capped with how much we can produce at our distillery at the moment.
I mean, it's in 8 years though, not too shabby.
Yeah, we're super lucky. Like, we have such an amazing community here. We have such an amazing base that comes out and, you know, supports us when we're trying new things. You know, I couldn't be more fortunate, and Frederick is just the perfect place, which is why you see a lot of people opening up.
Well, it's become a melting pot.
Distilleries here, yeah, because this is a place where people come to like experience new brands and try things and do like, you know, hit four breweries in a distillery in a day, and that's
within a few hours.
Exactly, yeah. Which is what's, you know, I love about being in downtown Frederick.
Oh yeah, yeah. So in those 8 years, I mean, you guys now have obviously regular events consistently. Mm-hmm. Your pig roast has always been a huge hit, and it's just growing every single year. If I didn't work every Saturday, you know I'd be there because I can go ham.
I'll save you a pulled pork sandwich.
I mean, I can go ham on some ham, I'll tell you right now. Yeah, I ain't shy when it comes to eating.
Yeah.
So you have the pig roast. You have, I mean, naturally, your weddings and events single-handedly my gosh, it was a solid cash flow for you guys while you were, you know, trying to focus and build, mm-hmm. you know, kept you afloat. It was a great level of income. I know now you guys are so busy that it's kind of harder to facilitate a lot of these weddings in the venue.
Yeah.
And you just had, what was the event you just had this past weekend?
It's a Crush Fest.
Crush Fest.
Yeah, just crushes all day. Super fun.
And how many times have you done this one now?
So this was our first year trying this one. I made the mistake of being at the Crush Bar for about 9 hours, and my whole body yesterday, I could not get out of bed. I was so
you were
sore.
Crushed.
It was I was personally crushed.
You're out of juice.
Yeah. So I loved it. It was like, you know, one of the most like fun events we had. We got a dunk tank, and
nice.
Zach, our distiller, got in there and was heckling people to try and dunk him as you were coming in to raise money for the Frederick NICU. It was just a blast. It was so much fun. So we'll definitely be bringing that back again next year.
Beautiful. You just had it at the distillery?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love when it's home.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
And the on top of it too, speaking of outgoing work, love the fact you guys are donating a lot of it to the NICU.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, when is, I'm terribly sorry,
the barroom blitz.
I wasn't even going to talk about that. That's one thing. Yeah. Like, let's talk about that, and then we can talk about every year you guys are out planting trees as well.
Yes. Yeah. So those are our two big charitable initiatives. I think like our involvement in the community is something that's really important.
Again, I
to
love
us.
That about you guys.
Our two big charity events in December is the Barroom Blitz, where we have six of the best mixologists and bartenders around Frederick come to the distillery and do a pre-made cocktail using a McClintock spirit. Each bartender has their own charity they pick that's important to them. It's local in the community. And then the two that get the most votes go head-to-head in a secret ingredient round, which I think last year was Blackstrap molasses and sour grape juice, I think. And it was
okay.
Yeah, some challenging stuff.
Sweet and sour.
Yeah. So very fun, and all of the bartenders raise money for the charities that they participate in. So it's a really great one. And then sustainability is our other big initiative that we run on. So every April, which is Earth Month, we do Gimlets for Green Month. So we have, I think last year, about 150 restaurants and retailers participate, including the Frederick Wine House here. And for products that are sold during that time, we donate all of the profits to plant trees around the Chesapeake Bay watershed. So the last 3 years, we brought the whole team out. We planted trees along Carroll Creek and up in the Walkersville area along the Monocacy. So it's been really, really fun and a good way to really like see that charitable movement
sure.
give back right in your own backyard.
Yeah,
you
no,
know,
and
you get these great trees that help the bay. Yeah. They help the parks.
It's big
it's
of you
really
guys.
Great. So,
love that.
Yeah,
love that. Always staying busy.
Yeah.
Well, Russ never sleeps, and it's not like you do it either. So, you know, it comes with the territory.
That's the gin helps keep you be fueled.
You know, it's yeah, it keeps me well lubricated. You know, Tin Man needs his oil can.
That's right.
So. Based off of all of this, you know, in the last 8 years, it's obvious our demographic has shifted exponentially in that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I really want to be transparent and get down to it, a lot of the old Germans are dying off in this county. I mean, now we have a huge Latino, Indian, Asian, who am I forgetting? I mean, just pretty much any demographic you could think of. There's definitely a market for it now in this county because it's become just the true beauty of America, this beautiful melting pot, and you have all these different palates, all these different tastes. Does this in any way, shape, or form affect your R&D?
So when we're trying, we do try to do products that are inspired by liqueurs and specialty spirits from around the world. Mm-hmm. So not specifically, you know, going after any specific demographics here, but we've done, we did a Trujillo spirit, which is like a Slovenian honey liqueur specialty product that
and
we did.
How did you find that and think of it?
So there is a product called Slivovitz that somebody brought back to me. It's like, it's a Eastern European, like a lot of those Eastern European style liqueurs that are very weird. I thought it was awesome. And so we're like, we're going to do one of these.
Another thing that I love about you is just anytime you come across new territory, you go, how can I put this tool in my tool belt?
Yes.
How can I use this?
Exactly.
It's just right away of like, how can I throw this in? And like right away, your palate and your brain go to work of just, how can I make this taste good in this? Is it already good? How do I balance this out
yes.
with other flavors?
Yeah. No. And I think that's like what we like to do is like we love traveling, we love taking inspiration from all around the world and then bringing that inspiration here and using the local ingredients and the local elements that we have to kind of put a twist on it that makes it our own but also inspired by these really interesting, you know, we've done like Dutch Genever, working on like a fig liqueur right now. We've had
that'll be good for fall.
Yes.
Yeah. Good call.
I have 2,000 liters of shochu sitting in the warehouse right now that we're still working on that one. So, you know, we love practicing it, you know, and refining our craft, but you know, there's amazing spirits makers all over the world and it would, you know, we want to take inspiration from all of them.
Understandably. Yeah. No, that's, you know, you, like I said, Russ never sleeps. Neither do you. I mean, you guys are always pumping out deep fried gold. I will always be a fan. I love that my manager's tag is on your rye. Frankly, when I went down to whiskey school in Austin, I was sure to take a bottle with me. I purposely only brought Rye. So I brought that. I brought the Willett Family Estate because it's safe, yeah. You know.
Oh, that's and, good stuff.
And naturally, they just go, ah, the Marylander. And I went, you know it. And I just started pulling them all out. And, you know, and I was like, you got to try this one. You get that nice, crisp Granny Smith apple on the finish. They went, oh, okay. You know, and honestly, they all just kind of gave it a sip and went, this is from where you live? Went,
yeah.
Uh-huh. And they go, that'll do.
Rye can be
thank
really
you.
Amazing. It's, it can be really amazing.
Thank you. Everyone just assumes it's, oh, no, it's, turn the amps up to 11 on the spice
yeah.
and well maybe in its raw form in its early days but
yeah.
you know
it can be beautiful and that's one of my favorite things. We get a lot of bourbon drinkers come in, they're like they just want to try the bourbon, all I want is the bourbon. You know, like rye can be a beautiful spirit if you're using the right types of rye and the right mm-hmm. kind of fermentation and distillation practices. And that's, you know, I love turning new people onto rye and telling them about the Maryland rye story.
Cause yes,
it's so
the Whiskey Rebellion.
Exactly.
Well, and it's, if you really think about it, it doubles down on being an American.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. This country was founded on the fact of just, yeah, we don't want to pay that. Have a good one. And then let's be real. Like it was, okay, well, we got bourbon. Well, guys, we kind of figured it out. Like someone's got to pay the bill. And then it turns into, well, we don't want to pay that. So we're going to boycott your boycotting. How's that? And we're going to make our own spirit. I mean, yeah, fast forward. Now it's all taxed anyway.
Yeah.
But it just, to me, drinking rye is the most American thing I can do.
It's America's first spirit. Yeah. Rye whiskey, for sure.
Yeah.
And two of my favorite things, brandies and rye. You know, that's what the 13 colonies were built on.
Yes,
really.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, that and just saying no, I don't want to pay that bill. But you know, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up there. But Braden, as always, is an absolute pleasure. I wish we had a little more time, but thank you. Thank you for coming out. This has been the Voice of the House podcast. Braden, do you have anything for closing?
I really appreciate you having me out. And if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, you can find all the events and special releases we have coming out soon.
Thank you. And what's, well, you already said you got the fig spirit coming out. I'm mm-hmm. thoroughly excited for that. I'm going to be getting that, right?
Most definitely.
In the store?
You know, I tag a bottle of everything we got for you guys.
You know, I meant more for sales, but, you know, I don't,
both, a little bit
yeah,
both there.
Yeah, see, I don't mind the old handshake deal. Appreciate you. Well, folks, I am Mr. Cal. This has been the Voice of the House. We appreciate everyone. Remember, just be a listener. See ya.